Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see this number out this morning, and so good to see everyone. And if you will, let's be turning to Genesis chapter number 17. Genesis chapter number 17. If you're visiting with us, please make yourself at home. We're thankful you're here with us this morning and looking forward to what the Lord has given to me. Something that's been on my heart all week, actually longer than that, but the tendency could be sometimes to sidestep things that might appear controversial, but the reality of it is, in God's eyes, it's not controversial at all. I believe that's probably on a lot of hearts this morning, and I kind of just want to go through some verses this morning with you and share some things and just share with you what the Bible has to say about the topic, we'll go from there. But let's pray before we go any further this morning. Father, I thank you so much for this day, for all of those that are able to be here with us this morning. God, any visitors, Lord, I just pray and ask that you make them feel welcome, God, and just the Holy Spirit, Lord, is what we're desiring this morning. We ask that you have free reign, and I thank you so much for what I've already experienced here today, the singing, the teaching, Lord, the fellowship, and just, again, your sweet spirit, God, that leads us to knowledge, that helps us to know what's right, what's wrong, and it will lead us and guide us, God, and I thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray for our church, Lord, each one that's here, each one that attends, God, I pray that you help their hearts this morning, help their minds, God, help us to focus on what you'd have us to see, and Lord, I can just see in my heart, and also in this world physically, spiritually, both, I can see, God, that this thing is winding down, Lord. I can really see that and I feel that. It's already been mentioned this morning. But Lord, your word proclaims it and tells us that also. God, I just pray for each one here today that they'd be ready, each one listening. God, I pray that they'd take this to heart and listen and just really see what your word says about it, God, because your word is the final authority. We can take that or we can choose to go against it, God, but that is our choice. But God, I pray that we choose you this morning. God, I pray that more would choose you, God, in these days to come with just so much wrong information being shared. God, I pray that you lighten our hearts, lighten our mind. Guide me, God. Help me to say everything you'd have me to, Lord. Nothing I shouldn't, Lord. It's from a heart of love, God, a heart of trusting you, God, that I come this morning. And we just ask that your will be done here today, God. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tell you, you know, try not to have a controversy. I'm going to use that word probably a few times this morning. But what's been on my heart a lot is what I've been seeing in the news. And maybe if you've been watching it, I tried to stay away for a few years. I'll be honest. Brother Mike, I tried. You got me back into it. I'm going to blame it on. I got to pick on him. We talk about the news a little bit. I tell you, it's important to know what's going on. But really what you see on TV sometimes is not telling you the whole story. Sometimes you do have to kind of look through it a little bit further, look through things a little bit deeper and get the right lens, because there's all kinds of agendas. There's agendas for everybody. We know that. Good ones, bad ones maybe, and what have you. And you have to decide what lens that you're going to look through to see and know to find truth. I want us to look through the Bible and just simply see what it says. My title this morning is Believe the Bible or Not. Believe the Bible or Not. I can use that title for probably infinite amount of messages because the Bible says what it says, and you'll see people in the world doing just complete opposite of what the Bible says. And, you know, here's the thing. I thought about this. Watching the news, I pulled it up on YouTube, and I was kind of watching that, and I just kind of watched it by myself a little bit. And me and Brandy, it's kind of all right when we were just watching it together. I thought when Josh was coming home, I thought I probably need to turn this before he gets here. And I got to thinking a little bit further. If me and my dad and Josh were all three watching what was on the news, we'd probably just beat the house down or something. I don't know. You think, I'm telling you, it just burns you up. You know, I mean, it just burns me up. You're seeing all these things going on with these protests and all that kind of stuff, having worked and still working on a college campus and having worked in law enforcement and actually being on the front line for some protests like that, it's different. It's one thing to watch it on TV, but it's another thing to be the one wearing the gear standing in front of somebody, Brother John Mark, and them hating you, and just because you're just trying to do what's right. You're just trying to do what the law says, just keep the peace. The problem is, a lot of this world really doesn't want peace. If you want peace in your life, I'll tell you a quick way to have that, and that would be to follow what the Lord says. Now, that doesn't mean the world is going to give you peace, but if you want peace in your heart with God, it is to follow what the Word of God says. That's simple, ain't it? But that's not what this world is about. You see a lot of things going on. You see a lot of people. Here's the thing. The way I look at it, too, is we, those who study the Bible, those who believe the Bible, have a different viewpoint from those who have never heard or seen or read the Bible. It's very easy for me to get impatient. It's very easy for me to get disheartened with people and just say, hey, enough with them. Whatever they get, they get. But you know, that's not the heart of God. God would have that us all would come to repentance, every single one of us. Oh, it doesn't matter the side of the fence, whatever that people are standing on, God would love to see them come to the right side, come to His side. There's a lot of talk about Israel, and I thought about this morning, thinking a lot about them. I don't just stand for Israel because of who Israel is on the face of Israel. You know why I stand behind Israel? It's because of who God is. It's not just because of who they are. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying Israel can't make mistakes. They made all kinds of mistakes in the Bible. Just like you and I in America, we make all kinds of mistakes. We're not perfect people. They're not perfect people. Here's the thing. They're God's chosen people. And it'd pay for us to pay attention to that. Know that there's a lot of people on this earth, one of two things, they don't know it, or they choose not to believe it. I've been thinking a lot this week about it when I was preparing for studying and preaching and what have you. I thought, man, this would be just a little bit too hot for this time. But you know, if we sidestep things that the Lord would have us to teach and preach on, then I'm not doing you any right. I'm not doing you any justice. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So as to tell you what the Word of God says, and if I stand on that, then I'm going to be okay, is what He tells me. And that's the way I'm going to stand on it. When you look at God's Word, He declares things to us. The way He declares things begins in Genesis 1:1. He tells us there that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created it. It's His, right? Would you argue that it's not God's? Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. That tells me that it's all His. It's all His. You know, last week we talked about the potter for just a few minutes and how the potter reworks and how he makes, and what he wants in his cupboard is what he designs. That's what he makes. That piece of clay does not get to decide what it is. You know, that cup that comes out, that God makes, that the potter makes, that cup that comes out, he can say, I want it to be a plate. That don't matter. You don't have a say-so in it. The potter was the creator. You see, when God created the earth here, he had in mind exactly how he wanted it to be. This is the problem that we run into, our will versus God's will. That's always been the problem. That's always been the issue. When we go against God's will, we're asking for trouble. That's just as simple as it is and as plain as it can be. And when you put all that together, what the Bible tells us here is what God's will and how we can align with it. You know, we have to lay down our pride sometimes. We have to lay down our wants and wishes, our desires sometimes. But I tell you, God will honor those. He will reward those that align with His will. He'll cause your heart to be in line with Him if you'll lay down and submit your will to Him. Do you know that? He's the one that can make you happy. You say, but I wanted that. The Lord says, I want you to have this. I created you to have this, to be this. You know, just so happens the way that He created Israel to be is the one that's His chosen people. Like it or not, church, that's what He chose. We can accept that or not. We can believe it or not. We can like it or not, but that's exactly how He chose it to be. But you'll find He gave us also as Gentiles as a place to be there also. You know, as I was getting ready this morning, Brady thought it was Wednesday night. This is my Wednesday night get up. She thought, why are you wearing that? It's not Wednesday. I said, I don't know. I just feel a little bit patriotic this morning. I'm just thinking a lot about Israel. And again, not just aligning with them because I want to, but because the way the Word of God aligns it up to be. Thinking about the blue flag, their flag, and just thinking about how people are standing for that flag. Do you know that New Jerusalem that comes down, that's where I'm a citizen of? Did you know that? Felt a little patriotic getting ready this morning. Kind of looking over on the other side just a little bit more. A little bit we got to cross over here to get there. But it's coming. Trust me, it's coming. I can feel it. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that trumpet blow any second, Brother Tim. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the lost people in my family in this church, I'd say, let's go right now. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I don't like all the issues that we're having, all the things that we deal with, but you have the right to believe the Bible or not. We're going to talk a little bit about Palestine, a little bit of their origination this morning, kind of some historical facts about it. This probably won't be what you call a shouting message or anything like that. You can even call it a lesson if you want to, a history lesson. But the beautiful thing about the Bible is it'll teach you the history. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the present and also about the future. Everything you need to know, all in one book. There's no other book like that. It's the Word of God. It tells us everything we need to know. But you go back to the origination here. I'm going to start to tell you a little bit about Palestine and we'll go on through. If you ever studied that and look back through it, the Palestine is another name, another word for the land of the Philistines. Did you know that? Phoenicia, or Phoenicia, however you would actually pronounce that word, the way that it is spelled out. If you look at that modern land today, where it's at today, Judea, the Holy Land, it's the land of Canaan. You ever hear about that in the Bible? Israel, that's where it's at. You think about Gaza, the Gaza Strip, and I'll tell you some of the origination of those people there. Gaza, that's referring to the land of the giants. You remember Goliath, the Philistine from Gath? You see how all this ties together? You go back and you start reading those Old Testament names. It might give you a little bit different look of where this place is. Who dwells there? Who does this belong to? Who does this land belong to? You'll see and hear a little bit about anti-colonization. People saying, well, somebody come in and took this land over. They can't do that. Well, who does it belong to anyway? Think about that this morning. Genesis 17. I'm going to go ahead and start at verse number 1 here. And say, where did this come to be? How did this come to be with Israel? I know in recent weeks and months we've actually talked about this and had a prophecy conference, but I want to kind of come at it from a little bit different angle, and this is why. A lot of times what we'll do, we'll see something on TV and we'll know it's not right or feel like it's not right, but we won't know why. So a lot of times we'll say that, the Bible says this, or I think it says this, and sometimes maybe it does, and sometimes maybe it doesn't. I learned a long time ago not to just pretend or think that people know all the things that I'm telling them. Sometimes you have to start at ground level. You know, there's little kids here that have never heard this before. They don't understand this. They don't know this. They don't understand some of these things. And when somebody asks you a question, you can't just say the Bible says. Sometimes I might say, well, where? This morning I want you to know the where the Bible says this. That way if somebody on the street says, what do you think about all this that's going on in Israel? You can say, well, this is what the Bible says about it. This is where the verses are. And you can read it straight from God yourself. This is what He has to say about it. Boy, that's good, isn't it? His authority is a lot higher than mine. Amen. He's the final authority. He lays it out. We see here the beginning of this and where this nation actually came from, where it was birthed from. In Genesis 17:1, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, 99, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. He's going to grow a nation out of Abraham. And it says, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and make a nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed forever, or seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. and I will be their God. You see how many times that said everlasting? See, if you remember how God made this covenant, God made this covenant here not dependent upon Abraham. He put him to sleep and walked through the midst of the fire himself. You remember that? That was a promise God made regardless of what Abraham chose to do. Man can mess things up. We mess things up all the time. You see it all the time. When God made this promise, he made this promise to stand, and he said forever, this land of Canaan. Now, where is that? It's exactly where we're talking about, where it's at. Now, who does it belong to? Who does this land belong to? It belongs to Abraham and his descendants. For how long? Forever. Guess what? Forever's still going on. Still going on today. It'll go on until the end of time and after time, through eternity. That's how the Lord set it up. He promised it to him. Now here's the thing. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. It's okay to say amen on that. It's okay. I believe that. That's the title deed to Israel right there in those verses. So what's the argument about? Why are we even arguing that? God said it. God said it, I believe it a lot of times. This is how it said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, when God said it, that settled it, regardless of what we believe. It's a benefit to us if we believe it. But you see here, there's a lot that's going on where people choose not to believe that, or maybe they haven't heard that. That's the real point of the message. It's not to be contentious. It's just what the Word of God says. It's really simple to share that, explain that to people. And you see here, I think a lot of what you're seeing is disinformation that's being shared to people, and I'm not bashing college campuses, I'm not. But where in America can you go at any given time and probably influence 20 to 30,000 people about any given time? Not a lot of businesses are that big. Probably a lot of employers probably wouldn't allow that. Where would you go? If you really wanted to reach the masses in the United States, where would you go? You ever just slow down and think about that? I thought about it a lot this week. I'm like, are these people really that naive? Are these people really? I mean, how do they even know what's going on? Well, I'd say for the most part, a lot of them don't. If you really watch the news and read between it, a lot of these people that's being arrested, the majority of them, are not college students. They're called professional agitators, professional protesters. They're coming in and spreading their agenda to get these students worked up. And see, when I see TV and see a lot of these students, and you know, you get agitated about it, but I'm like, they're only listening to what they were told, and they choose to believe it or not. See, my responsibility as a pastor is to share the right information with everybody in this church, and then whoever else is willing to listen. First obligation is my home in this church. You know that? What we do with it from there is our choice. Think a lot about our college campuses. I'm not throwing everybody in one lump. You know, we support Collegians for Christ. See, that's really what we need to be doing. You think about how the world is trying to influence the United States. It's through their college campuses. If we want to win the United States back for God, you know where a good place to start would be? In our homes, first and foremost, but our college campuses. Wouldn't it be nice to see the Word of God being spread like that? They're sharing that. They're getting people worked up. You see in Genesis 28, again, it's talking more about who the land belongs to or how the land is to be divided out. West, east, north, south is what it says in Genesis 28. A lot of different verses. If you can write these down as you go. Genesis 28, at some point, I won't read this for the sake of time. We'll look at verses 13 through 15 at a later time. But let's go to Exodus chapter number 32. Somebody asked you, what do you think about all this? Well, who's the rightful owner? What's going on? Exodus 32 and 13. I'll start at verse 11. It says, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth the wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for his mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth, and turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of the evil against thy people. Verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest in thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and as all the land that I spoke of will I give unto your seed, and shall inherit it again, it says, forever. And you look at a couple of things here, and I kind of break this down. You remember, and we've recently on Wednesday nights going through the book of Hebrews covered this, but you see how the child of promise with Abraham and Sarah was Isaac. You remember that? They got impatient. I'm not telling you anything you hadn't heard in recent weeks, but I'm telling you, our young people needs to hear this. The child of promise was Isaac, and that was to be with Sarah. Sarah and Abraham got impatient, and what did they do? They tried to take it upon themselves to have a child a different way. Sarah said to go into my handmaid Hagar and have yourself a son, and that's exactly what Abraham did. And from that relationship, what you have is Ishmael was born. But guess what? Ishmael is not the child of promise. He's not. What you have that's taken place here, Sarah and Abraham and their disobedience to God created another person. And that person is what you see. If you look at that, you look it up. Look up the descendants. Go and look it up, who the descendants of Ishmael is. That's the Arab nation. That's Saudi Arabia. You know what their religion is? Islam. That's not Christianity. That's separate and apart. You see what is going on and taking place in that area, that strip, that location. That's exactly what's taking place. That's not God. People will try to tell you that Allah means God and Allah is God. God, my God, is not Allah. Let me just go ahead and tell you that. The God of Islam, Allah, is not my God. They will even tell you, you can talk to them a little bit. I've studied. I've not personally experienced this, but they will not tell you or not disagree that Jesus actually lived. They'll say, yes, he did. And you get down to the point of saying, well, is he the Son of God? And they'll say, no, he's not. He was just a prophet who made a mistake, and he's coming back to apologize to the world. That's what Islam will say. That's where it breaks off. That's the difference. Now, you see here the promise that was made, the child that was actually conceived was Isaac, and from Isaac, what you have is the Jewish nation of Israel. That's who the promise was made to. Not to the seed of Ishmael, but to the seed of Isaac, to the seed of Abraham. You see what I'm saying here? That's the difference. That's where the break is at. You say, I already know this. Well, praise the Lord for it. Stand on it. You don't, take it and take it to heart. Learn what it's saying here. And you see Exodus 32:13, again, what it's saying. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. See how that promise has always continued to be, that promise coming down. I want us to also go to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah 29, we'll look at verses 10 through 14. This is something that took place. This is about 70 years after the Babylonian captivity in the Old Testament here. I just want you to be able to have these verses and have them handy. If you want to be able to talk to somebody about it, you can through this way. But Jeremiah chapter number 24, verses 10 through 14. Go ahead and start reading here, verse number 10. It says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylonian, talking about the Babylonian captivity, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. You know, after this many years, the reason that Israel was in the Babylonian captivity is because they were disobedient. One thing to remember about God is when he's dealing with his people or not, he still holds them to the standard. And when they were disobedient, they were removed from the land. They were taken away in the Babylonian captivity. You look back and you'll see in the book of Daniel, you read a lot about that. Jeremiah is also a contemporary of about that time, and he's a weeping prophet, as you'll see, because he saw the condition of Israel and what it was in Jerusalem. That's what he's talking about here. After the 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place, return to the nation of Israel. For I know the thoughts that I think of you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see how it brings the time frame all the way through to where we are today? Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart. Verse 14, pay attention to this, and it says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now you see how long ago that was back in Jeremiah, several thousand years ago, a long time back, but you see where we are today. That is a calling back. I looked that up. There's actually a term for that. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but it's A-L-I-Y-A-H. I call it Aliyah. That's called the ascent, the rise. It's called the immigration to Israel. It's called the calling back to the nation of Israel. This is something that actually began sometime back. Cyrus, he's the king of Persia. If you read 2 Chronicles, and he was the one that also said that he was going to rebuild and have them come back even then. This is something that's been going on for quite some time. But in recent history, our time, we know back in 1948, that is when the nation of Israel was again recognized as a state. Now, if you'll listen close in the news today, you'll be able to hear some of the politicians, American, it doesn't matter what country it is, you'll be able to see what side they're on based on how they refer to Israel. Some of them don't refer to them as a state. Some don't. You can tell pretty quick if they believe the Bible or not based on what they're saying today. I simply believe it because that's the way the Word of God says it. But I actually, every so often, I go back and I look and I try to see what the census says as far as where the Jewish people are worldwide. Have you ever done that? You ever looked it up and say, okay, if the Lord is calling his people, calling the Jewish people back home to Israel, how many are there? You ever think about that? It's a logical step to do, isn't it? In the nation or in the world, worldwide, I looked it up, there's about 15.7 million Jews worldwide. 15.7, that's not too large when you think about the billions in the United States and what have you. You see, God chose them because they were small, not because they were large in number. But that's still a lot of people. And you know what I found in Israel today? There's 7.2 million that have already returned home. Did you know the majority have already returned home? Isn't that something? That's exciting to me, Brother Tim. That's what you call a sign. He's calling them back home. I like that. Where would you think the rest or the next highest percentage of Jewish people are? Anybody want to take a guess at that? You're in the country. Isn't that neat? I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. Did you know as of 2023 census, in the United States, there's 6.3 million Jews in the United States. That's a close number two in my book. Now, very interesting to me, if you break it down, you start looking at France, you start looking at these other nations, you're getting down to 500,000, 400,000. That's a lot of people, don't get me wrong. But it's not 6.3 million that's in the United States. You know, when I was young, and I think a lot about the preaching that I heard prophetically preaching growing up, and I was thinking a lot of what we saw was television news that you saw in Iran, Saudi Arabia, everything that you saw overseas. That's what it was like when I grew up. saw everything that was happening over there. What I see today, what we see today, is the news happening here in the United States. People getting young people riled up, getting people in our nation riled up, and it's anti-Israel. You know, they were saying free Palestine, and they were chanting that and chanting shame on you and all those things like that. But what they were trying to do, what these agitators were trying to, the message that they were trying to get across to our students in the United States was, let's stop sending money to anybody that has anything to do with Israel. That's what they were trying to do. That's what they're saying. But what happens when you get all these people worked up like this, and I've been in positions like in law enforcement, working in protest. I'm just like, I wish they would just go home. Well, what's the problem? What's the problem? Why can't we just go home? What's the problem? The problem that gets spread, or the issue that gets spread, is Israel. They're the problem. You got a whole entire generation of people now that's starting to look at Israel, who doesn't know the truth, but looking at Israel, they're the problem. We want all this to end. We want all this to stop. What's the problem? Israel's the problem. That's what's being said. But that's being said here in the United States, when I was growing up, it was overseas. They were fighting over that strip of land when I was growing up. But now it's a problem here in the United States. Where's the second largest population of the Jewish people? Right here in the United States. Many of them also students. That doesn't sound very inclusive to me, does it you? This might get down the road quicker than what I thought. But I tell you, you think about what's being said and how it's being done here, and how he's calling them back home. Again, you see also 2017. I thought this was kind of an interesting thing here. 2017. President at the time, he declared that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Well, that's kind of a hot topic there. But 2018, think about this. We're talking about the Babylonian captivity, 70 years. A lot of times you'll see 70 mentioned in the Bible. But from May 4th, 1948, 70 years later, May 14th, 2018, the U.S. Embassy actually moves to Jerusalem. 70-year anniversary. I thought that was very interesting. Put an embassy in the capital of the country that you would go to. I thought that was very interesting. You put that together. Let's turn to Luke chapter number 1 for just a minute. We're a little over halfway done here. We'll get through this. Thinking about Israel and who the rightful owner is. We see the rightful owner of Israel being the nation of Israel, being the Jewish people, the rightful owner of the nation. World War I, you saw the land, the people preparing for the land, and I believe that World War II, you saw the land preparing for the people. Thought that was kind of interesting. I've heard somebody explain it that way before. Who's the rightful king of this nation? Luke 1, verses 31 and through 33. This still applies. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, the Bible absolutely proclaims who the next king of Israel is to be, if you believe that or not. If you'd like to turn back a little bit with me, I'm going to look at Zephaniah chapter number 3 for just a second, 3:8. Just look at one verse there. If you don't want to turn, that's fine. Just remember Zephaniah 3:8. So what you're going to see take place, and it's already started, what you're going to see take place after the Israelites, after the Jewish people are called back into their nation, after they return back into their nation, you're talking about down into the time of the tribulation period, after they get called back in, you're going to see every nation turn against Israel. Many here, I think, have probably heard that, been taught that, and heard that preached on. I want to make sure our young people understand that also. As the generation coming on, Church, they need to understand that. They need to understand and know what's taking place, where it's at in the Bible, so they can study it and they can see it. There's going to be what's called the judgment of the nations, or on the nations, after they all turn against Israel. You see that taking place now. Now they're trying to pull the United States in on it. You're going to see different countries. You're going to see it happen. What does Jesus, what does the Lord say about this? The Lord himself says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." What's that talking about? What's that making reference to? That's talking about the battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes back. I'm giving you a lot of different places. I'm just giving you a skeleton for you to go back and study, just an outline for you to go back and study. Once the Antichrist sets up the nation, once the temple sets himself up as God during the tribulation period, in that midpoint of the tribulation when he breaks the covenant, he's going to have 3.5 years. That's his last 3.5 years to reign before Jesus and his church comes back. Those that have gone on come back. And that's what he's talking about here, the battle of Armageddon. It's going to take place when the Lord himself sets everything back right. He puts everything in place. I want you to see and know that. You can believe the Bible or not. I want to share with you what the Bible says. Let's go to Joel chapter number 3. Joel chapter number 3. Again, this is making reference to the Battle of Armageddon during this time. I found this very, very interesting. Told you about the mention of Palestine being mentioned in the Bible, and it's actually mentioned in the King James Bible one time, and it's in these verses. It's talking about the coast of Palestine. What you hear some of the people chanting, "From the river to the sea, from the river to the sea," when they're talking about that, they're talking about the boundaries of Palestine, that they're wanting control over that area. I thought this was interesting. I'm not going to say that this is a fulfillment of any kind of prophecy, but I want you to understand what just took place at the end of last year and what these verses says, what the Lord says himself right here in these verses. Joel chapter number 3, verses 4 and 5, and it says, "Yea, and what have ye to do with me?" That's the question that the Lord is asking here, talking of Tyre and of Zidon and all the coast of Palestine. It's those who are in charge of Palestine at that time. "What do you have to do with me? What relationship do you have to do with me?" And it's not a positive one that you see here. It says, "Ye will render me a recompense," asking a question. "If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly and pleasant things." He's saying here, "What do you have to do with me?" The Lord asking this of the leaders of Palestine at that time. He's saying, "What you do to me, I will return upon your head." On October 7th, 2023, for those who may not know or didn't understand exactly what's taking place, how this all started, where this came from, but on October 7th, last fall, Palestine attacked Israel. And more importantly to know, it's Hamas, the group there, the antagonist group that's there in Palestine. That's the ones who attacked Israel and came in, holding the country, the nation, or the area there in Palestine hostage. They killed 1,300 Israelis, and they abducted 240 people and took them back. The closest thing that I can compare that to, and I alluded to that a few services ago, the closest thing that I can compare this to for the United States is what happened in 9/11. Now, how would you feel if you look back and we saw what took place? You was watching the news. That's about the time that Brandy and I were getting married. We was opening gifts and what have you from our wedding. We're watching this on the news, and Brandy's mom said, "You'll always remember what you were doing, that you were watching this as you were opening your wedding gifts." I'm like, "Yeah, and I do." What would it have been if the president at that time stood up and said, "We're not going to do anything. It just wouldn't be right to attack those who attacked us, and we're just not going to do anything. We're just going to let it go." Yeah, I know they've got
hostages of ours over there, and we're just casualties of war. We're just going to let it go. How patriotic would that have been to our nation? You remember that time? Anybody remember that? I know there's a lot of young ones that don't, but you remember that? You remember how you felt that day? I do. I was working in law enforcement. I was doing the banking that morning and everything, just listening to the radio. And then when that second plane hit, they called us all in and we were like, what are we going to do? We were on standby. You know, police officers, National Guard, you're the front line. You are, believe it or not. Who did they send to the front lines of these universities? They're there. Not that they want to be there, but they have to be there. Now, how would it have been if we decided the United States said, we're just not going to do anything? But what was it when he said, we're going to go back over there, we're going to make this thing right? Wasn't that, Brother Allen, wasn't there a little something in there? You're a military man, you know. You got to remember who you're messing with here. This is God's chosen people. This is what God said he was going to do. This is how God said he was going to handle things. I wouldn't expect anything less from Israel than to go and to make it right and to get their people back. See, it's one thing for us to watch it on the news and just want it to all go away. But you imagine if that was some of your family, if that was you sitting there waiting on to see and if somebody was going to come and get you and take you back home. See, to some people, that's a very real thing in their life today. See, God sees that. God knows that. It's easy to kind of be disenchanted from it or pulled away from it and not see the reality of it. But we see here in God's word what he says will take place. You render unto me recompense. If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head. I believe that we're seeing some of that today. Let's turn to Zephaniah. I'm almost finished. Let's turn to Zephaniah chapter number 2. I want to look at verses 1 through 7. Again, it's talking about this same location in the world. Zephaniah, we know to be a prophetic book. We're talking about something that is to come. It says, gather yourselves together, yea. Again, talking about the nation of Israel coming back together. Gather yourselves together, yea. Gather together, O nation not desired. Very easy to know who that is. It's talking about Israel. Before the decree, bring forth before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. He's talking about a call to repentance here. It says, seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth which have wrought this judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall hide in the day of the Lord's anger. Verse number 4, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon be a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. Now listen, you believe the Bible or not? I mean, this is like reading the newspaper today. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and the folds of their flocks. And the coast shall be for a remnant of the house of Judah. And they shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. And they shall lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. That's about as plain as you can make it. And putting everything together, what the word of God says about it, that's his land that belongs to the nation of Israel. You see the names that's being listed here. It's very plain. Problem is, in this day and time, a lot of people don't believe the Bible or don't know that it's there. I believe it's important to give people the benefit of the doubt, somebody that wants to learn, somebody that wants to be able to see maybe the other side of it and willing to trust that. Well, there it is in God's word. And I want to close with this. And I know this isn't what you'd call maybe a shouting type message or anything like that, but I want it to be something that you can take home and you can study on and know where those verses are.
If you want to put some of the pieces of the puzzle together, that's where you can find it. But in Genesis chapter number 12, I want to stop here. This promise that was made, this is for us today. This is back when Abraham was called. It's what I want us to leave on our hearts and minds as we close out today. The importance of supporting Israel and why. This is the why behind it. Genesis chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in all thee shall the families of the earth be blessed." I know probably everybody here, most everybody here has heard that. But you know, that's a promise that the Lord has still made. That's a promise the Lord made, and that promise still stands. You think about when you watch TV and you see what people are doing and the way they're carrying on. I think a lot of them really don't even know what they're doing, but they need to know. Here's the thing. Do I wish any ill on those people? No, I wish they'd get right. I tell you this morning, I know that's the Lord's desire from the people. There's a lot of people that's deceived. We're blessed that we have the Word of God. It's our choice if we believe it or not. But we have it. You think about a group of people, multitudes of people never even heard it. Don't even know what the truth is. They need somebody to tell them the truth. But look at the age group. Look at the group of people that's being targeted. This isn't a new thing. Protest, look where they normally head to. Look, the next protest, whatever the topic will be, look and see if it's not a college campus somewhere. That's just kind of how it is. I praise the Lord that it hadn't been that way here at our campus. I've been praying. I tell you, we need to pray for our campuses, our college students. We need to pray for our law enforcement. I don't think things are just going to just one day just get easy and be over. I tell you, it's going to lead up before we get out of here. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm going to stop there this morning. I know that was a lot of reading, and I know reading can maybe slow things down a little bit, but here's the thing. This is what I wanted to focus on this morning. I didn't want to give you my opinion. I wanted to give you what the Word of God says, so you can say, well, that's what the Bible says. That's not what my preacher says. That's what the Word of God says this morning. If you will, you can stand with me. I'll ask Sister Alice to come. We will have a time of